Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Sam Panayotovich, a.k.a. Sammy P., is a friend of the show. Catch him on Fox 32 News in Chicago. I know my partner certainly was watching last weekend in Bears preseason.
All over it.
He joins us now. Happy Friday, Sammy P.
Happy Friday, gentlemen. By the way, John Martin, your presence is being requested in Las Vegas. Our friend Steve Colefield said, hey, tell John Martin to text me back.
Yes, I got to get back with him. I got people out here. I got the feds on me, man. Yeah. I didn't realize you and Steve go back like that. I'm going to get back with him. Can you tell Steve I'm going to get back with him? I'm working. I'm working hard.
He's listening. Now, he's listening to the show, and I go on his show every Friday, and he's like, dang, yo, get your boy sorted, and I said, I will.
Steve, I'm coming on. I go to bed really early these days. I get my full 10 hours, and then I'm in here first thing in the morning. I swear I'm coming on the show today. We will absolutely work that out. Now, am I going to give him any alpha on what Memphis football is doing, Sammy? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to protect my interests here, but will I go on the show? Gladly. All right, a lot to get to today with you on the show. We're going to talk college football. We're going to talk NFL. Caleb Williams, are we going to see him at all in the preseason?
Yeah, he might play a little bit against Cincinnati, but I wouldn't expect much, especially considering how many injuries the Bears have had so far. And I think we've talked on this show twice in the last 3 weeks, and every time it's, oh, this guy's hurt and that guy's hurt. And I don't understand why you would put him in harm's way. I mean, they still don't really know who's going to play left tackle as they work a bunch of guys in off that left side. Braxton Jones is the favorite right now, but they're using Wills and Amagaji at left tackle in practice and all that type of stuff. So with all the unsureness, or it's not even a word, but like there's just so much uncertainty,
yep,
with the health of that offensive line. I don't know why you would play him. Maybe Ben wants to see a series or two, but I can't imagine you see much of Caleb.
How confident are you that Detroit sort of returns back to its old form, as many of the books seem to indicate they believe?
They just believe in the roster. Really, that's what it is. You know, from 1 to 53, I think it's clearly the most well-rounded in the division. And you know, they were just decimated by injuries last year. They had a couple games in the middle of the season where they were down two corners and a safety. Yep. And, you know, they're getting shredded on the back end. And so what's wrong with the Lions? Well, look at the injury list. There's 12 guys on it. You know, I do think, though, this is a very fair debate to have. Did their offense lose more than people realized when Ben Johnson left town? I think it's very possible. You know, like when McVay left the Redskins. Yeah, that offense kind of went to the wayside. You know, when a guy like that who installs the running game, calls the plays, designs the plays, when he leaves town and your offense takes a step back, maybe he's more important than people realize. But I do think, though, when you look at all the weapons they have,
no question.
I mean, good grief. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs and all the receivers and their tight ends can play. It's a stacked roster. My big issue with Detroit has always been, and I've said this since he took over, Dan Campbell is like going to the blackjack table with your buddy who's blacked out. Like, you never know what he's going to do. Yep. You know, 18, hit me. 19, hit me. Like, oh, my God, what are we doing? Sometimes it works, but sometimes it doesn't. And that's really my hesitancy with the Lions. I have a hard time betting them big picture, like to win the conference and win the Super Bowl, because I don't trust Dan Campbell.
Last night, Fernando Mendoza got the entire first half against the Texans, threw a pick six. Some good things, but that was definitely the low light of it, the pick six there against the Texans backups. What do you make of what you've seen through two halves of Fernando Mendoza in the preseason, and just what he might be as a quarterback there as the top pick for the Raiders?
I just don't really love their offense right now, because I feel like their inability to run the football is problematic. And I really do think that, you know, Mendoza, when he does get the chance, and I think Kirk Cousins will start the season, and then eventually he'll whittle out, and you might get Mendoza. That's my guess. And if they've announced anything in the last 24 hours, I apologize. I'm not really following Raiders football like that. But I would assume that it's Cousins' job, and then maybe after a month or 6 weeks or so, you get it to Mendoza. But the problem with these young quarterbacks on bad teams is that, you know, you're constantly facing 3rd and 7 or 3rd and 8, and then there's a lot of pressure on these guys to make big throws and move the chains, and it's just not something that a lot of rookie quarterbacks are ready to handle. So I think he'll be fine, big picture, over the next 3 to 5 years. But this year he's on a bad team, man. I mean, they're just not good. Their O-line stinks. I thought the pick to take Ashton Jeanty was super ballsy because you don't have an O-line. Oh, let's draft the running back. You know, like it's sort of backwards. But I certainly wouldn't be running in the window to bet anything Mendoza, because I don't know how many games he's going to start this year.
How much can DJ Moore help our man Josh Allen and that Buffalo offense in your mind?
A ton. And this is a guy, if you go look at DJ Moore's first year with a new team, he's a star. Uh-huh. You know, he's very, very good. So, you know, I don't feel any type of way about Mendoza in his first year. But when DJ finds a new change of scenery and he gets to that new team for a first time, and he comes in hungry, he comes in shape, he studies the playbook,
yep,
he's ready to rock, he's ready to roll. And look, I like Shakir a ton in the slot. But Shakir's not a guy that's going to get down the field for 20, 30 yards.
Right.
DJ Moore could take the cover off a top. That would be a guy. Here's what I would do. I would look at DJ Moore's touchdown number. I'm going to guess it's, without looking, I'm going to guess it's about 5.5. I would go over. I think he could catch 10 balls this year in the end zone.
I believe it. I think he's motivated. You saw it in him telling that Carolina DB or whatever it is, come and get me. I'm just curious, Sammy. For me, I've never been able to put my finger on it. Why didn't it sort of seem to come together with Ben, who loves his receivers, loves his weapons? It just, I don't know that it ever necessarily fit. Maybe it did, and it, just because of what he was paid, he was always going to be on the way out. But why did it seem like that wasn't necessarily a good mesh?
Well, Ben's sort of a weirdo, and I say that respectfully, because Ben wants you to live, drink, eat, and sleep football. Ah. And I just don't know that DJ is that type of guy. Ben is very, very forward about that. You need to just love the game of football. And I don't know that DJ and him were on the same page. I also think that, you know, a little bit of an ego thing. DJ, to your point, got paid multi-million dollar deal, and then he just saw his targets lessen and lessen.
Right.
So I think he sort of, from an effort standpoint, I don't want to say that he didn't give 100% or whatever, but he certainly didn't work as hard on the practice field like some of these younger guys. And then when he started to get out-targeted by Roma Dunze and Colson Loveland,
yep,
I think the interest sort of slipped a bit. But look, when you change scenery, like I said, when you go to a team like Buffalo that is constantly in the postseason and playing in these big football games, I think he'll be rejuvenated this year. I really do.
Me too.
You know, I think we've talked about, you know, the Rams being such a, you know, an out-in-front favorite. And obviously, I think, you know, depending on where you shot, they could be 5-1, 6-1, which is an insanely low number for, you know, a preseason in the NFL. But what would derail them? Like, if the Rams, you know, were not to go on a run and win a Super Bowl, Sammy P, what would have had to happen for that to not come together?
Well, I could give you three answers. Number one, Matthew Stafford gets hurt. He's had multiple issues over the last few years, one with the elbow, a couple with the back. I mean, he's touching 40 years old really soon. So that's number one. Number two is sort of, I guess, defensive health with some of those guys up front. I mean, they got some monsters on that side of the ball. But, you know, if you don't get to the quarterback, it certainly changes everything. And then number three would be Sean McVay goes into a half with too many timeouts. Or you know, because, like, McVay is – the one thing about McVay is some of the in-game stuff and some of the clock management and some of the decisions to use a timeout or not to use a timeout. I mean, there was a game last year I think he blew single-handedly because he went into the half with a couple of timeouts, and then he burned a couple timeouts in the third quarter. And when they needed a timeout in the fourth quarter, they just didn't have it. I think that's the one flaw for Sean McVay. He's an outstanding head coach. I think he's top five in the league. But some of the game management stuff, I think, really leaves a lot to be desired. But really, if they have a healthy Stafford and a healthy D-line, they're a playoff team. They're a 12-win team. And they have a really good chance to go to the conference championship.
Sean Payton in your top five best coaches?
Yeah.
Just curious. When you said that, I thought immediately, oh, man, Sean Payton's got to be on that list in Sammy P's top five. Who all's in your top five, Sammy P?
It's a good question. I'd go McVay.
Yep.
I'd go, I mean, in no order, McVay, Peyton, Andy Reid. I like D'Amico Ryans a ton in Houston.
I do,
I'm a big fan of him.
Yep. I'm glad you got him
and
there.
And then, yeah. I mean, Belichick used to be an easy answer, but that's not the case anymore.
Mike McDonald?
I mean, just won a Super Bowl. Let's put him in the top 10 for sure.
Wow. Tough list to crack here, Sammy P.
I hadn't thought about this. This is a really good question.
What would Ben have to do, right? And where is he now? You know, we're both Bears guys here, so I don't want to put him too high on the list too early. But and he's got work to do. I actually like McDonald there from John, but what would Ben have to do to sort of move up this list too? Multiple playoff runs, deep runs.
I think, yeah. Well, look, I think Ben gets all his flowers for what they do offensively, but then when we talk about the Bears as a whole, they're kind of weak on defense.
No
guys.
Question right now.
I mean, they were 28th in yards. Last year, yards allowed, but they were number one in takeaways, which is sort of an impossible calculus to repeat. I mean, they can't do it again. I think it's funny because, oh, we give them all this credit for the offense, and then defensively, it's like, oh, well, that's not his side of the ball. And, like, that's somewhat true to an extent, but you're not an offensive coordinator. You're a head coach.
That's
so
right.
I would say, I mean, look, he's certainly in the conversation for a top 10 head coach, but I'd like to see them be better on both sides of the ball before I give Ben Johnson top five.
Very fair.
Well, you know, Sammy P, I think, you know, hopefully the more and more we do this, right, the more it will sink in that what we do on this show in Memphis is we ask good questions, right? we ask questions that make you think, that make you feel, that make you laugh, that make you cry, all the emotions, all the thoughts. That's what we do here on the show. So I don't want you to act surprised. Like, you know, we every question we aim to be a good one. You know what I mean?
I appreciate that. When you make me pause, that's the sign of a good radio show.
Yeah. Well, we're working on it every day.
That's good. That's good.
There was an announcement today that College Game Day is going to be in Oxford, LSU, Ole Miss. I know we're many weeks away from that, but I am curious if you've already got a thought on the side there in Lane Kiffin's return to Ole Miss and Oxford.
I would probably – I mean, I'm assuming that this game is going to be – you know, LSU minus like 2.5 or something like that.
It's
by the
actually
time you get to kick off.
Oh, by the time you get to kick. Because right now I believe it's Ole Miss minus 2.5. So it would have to flip.
I think LSU is going to be better out of the gate than people think. So let's call it a pick 'em at this point.
Yep.
Let's say it's a pick 'em. I would my point was going to be that I would be taking the points with the home dog.
Gotcha. Yeah, Ole Miss. You like you some Ole Miss in that one. I mean,
I would love points though. I don't really want to lay 2.5. I would love. I mean, in a perfect world, LSU would be undefeated, and I'd be able to take 3 with Ole Miss. But, we'll see. I don't know about Pete Golding, man. I don't know if he's ready to lead that team. We'll see. I could be surprised.
Do you have anything in terms of week 0, week 1 yet that you've already bet or are thinking about and flirting with heavily?
Yeah, I took a nice position on Florida State +3. That's, I believe, Sunday, September 7th, if I have my dates correct. They're catching 3 at home against SMU. I think that game should be a pick 'em. So I took the points. I think the Noles are going to be much better this year.
Oh, man. That's brave. That is so brave.
I know.
Mike Norvell. There's at least one believer in Mike Norvell still. And his name is Sam Paniatovic. Sammy P., you're the greatest, man. Thanks for the
Thank
time,
you,
as
brother.
Always. Have a great weekend.
All right, boys. See
yep. ya. Yes, Sammy P. Of course, Fox 32 News there in Chicago. Yeah. I mean, I know nothing about college football, big picture, so I'm the wrong person to ask. I mean, I'm sure I'll have my star people who tell me what to bet, but I don't know anything on my own. I don't even know who the quarterback is for Florida State. Do you?
No.
I know last year they had the Castellanos.
Yeah, I don't. Remember the little tough Castellanos loved to run.
But he was a bad quarterback.
Did not work, man.
Yeah, I have to look at and they always I feel like they always have like a name that you know. Who is it?
These have been tougher times for Mike.
Ashton Daniels.
And again, so the level of quarterback.
He transferred in from Stanford.
And the level of name that he's gotten has continued to drop.
He doesn't seem great based on his numbers. Yeah, man. I mean, and that's why they're outside the top 10 in the ACC. Last year, he was at Auburn last year as a backup. He was at Stanford 3 years before that.
So I don't think we're necessarily supposed to know over here who Mike's quarterback is now.
No, that's true. I mean,
you understand? They've dropped.
But if it was rolling, we'd know.
Right. Well, of course.
You know.
That's the issue.
Yeah.
They're asking whether or not if folks going to pay the buyout after this year.
Yeah.
He's on hot seat list.
Yeah, so. That seems pretty obvious here. Obviously, for me, UNLV minus 5.5 is a big position for me. I've taken a big position on that for week zero.
Man, I got two words for your scared tail.
What?
Kevin Decker. Look him up.
I know he comes with a lot of hype. He comes with a lot of hype.
Yeah, they better be ready for our offense as opposed to us being ready for Dan Mullen and Jackson Arnold.
By the way, I'm not saying that because I just don't know what to think.
No, you're scared.
I'm
and
very scared.
Scared money don't make no money.
That's right.
That's what they told me.
I mean, if I could get a 7 with Memphis, maybe I would take a 7. But anything else, I would be I'd be a little afraid of.
I think it's because you got Captain UNLV over there in the glass box on the other side.
He hasn't even been talking his stuff.
Yeah, I know, and that's what scares you. He's quietly confident, and it's got you scared like a little girl.
Are you scared? Are you confident? Are you quietly confident, Brad?
I like Memphis.
Brad likes Memphis.
That's a flat-out lie.
I like Memphis. I think Charles Huff is going to run the football and execute the football running the ball, and they're not going to be able to stop the run.
Well, you know, one thing Charles Huff says is spot the ball.
Spot the ball.
That's what he says.
I love hardcore guys. I love his moxie. I love the way he's like a bulldog up there.
I love it. But I will say this. None of that stuff matters when the ball gets snapped, right?
So like, you're taking Memphis in the points.
Yes.
No, he's taking Memphis money line.
Yeah, if I were betting it, I would take every point you give me in Memphis. Especially
is
6.
Is this fade Brad Carson or is it Brad Carson?
Like, this is just if I were betting it, like if I were going,
if you were
pick a bet.
You would take we should bring fade Brad back for college football.
I don't want to mess up the cipher like where he's really on to something, but I maybe a game or two just to see.
That said,
he's got too much and there's too much interest here, self, you know.
I can separate the two, though.
I don't think you can.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you can be objective here.
I totally can.
It's a conflict of interest with his UNLV ties. He's a freaking graduate.
That's a big charge. That's a big charge to put on Brad that he can't be objective about this game.
I can be objective about this game.
He thinks New Mexico, New Mexico, New Mexico, New Mexico.
The coach, Jason Eck, right? The coach, Jason Eck, getting a lot of
letters. He's scared of New Mexico like you're scared of UNLV.
Yeah, and I think
transitive, isn't that what they call it? Mess.
Yes, the transitive property.
Yeah, yeah. Jeffrey pointed something out yesterday, which is the Arnold may not be the quarterback.
He's gonna be the quarterback.
Hot Coalfield told us he's gonna be the quarterback.
Hot Coalfield.
Alex,
I can't believe
Orgies.
He did our show, but you won't go back on.
I am gonna go.
That's amazing. We didn't talk about that. I don't know if you heard that.
I don't know if he made it clear to Sandy P that
Steve actually appeared on our show this week, and John has to pay him back.
I want to be careful as the producer here. It sounds like John has not responded.
Yeah,
from
exactly.
I have not responded. Okay, he asked me as soon as we got off earlier this week. Can you reciprocate later in the week on my show?
I thought you'd already gotten that done.
I said, happy to. He said, maybe Thursday. I said, happy to. I didn't hear from him yesterday until last night at 11:09.
Oh, he's late.
It's not late for him.
Yeah,
but it's late.
He's on that western mountain.
I see.
It's late for Poppy.
Yeah, I would be in bed, too.
Poppy goes to bed at 9:30.
That makes sense.
Right? Maybe 10. I'm getting my full 8 hours these days.
Heard that. Good for you. That's
you know
a smart
saying?
Thing, dude.
I'm proud of you. I'm getting my full 8-9 unleaded.
Very proud of you.
So I have to, it's not personal. You know, the old me, I would have been awake. I'd have been watching the Chargers 49ers game until the end of the game.
I respect it.
But
I respect.
I think it's fantastic.
You know, I'm trying to, you know, health is wealth.
Health is wealth.
Heard that, brother.
And I know Charles Huff brought the sleep analyst in. And I'm sure that she said you got to get athletes need sleep.
They do.
Top athletes need sleep. I'm a purebred. I'm a thoroughbred. You know, I got to get my 10 hours of sleep.
Okay.
So I can run my 5.7 40-yard dash.
Yes.
So I'm going to definitely get back with Steve. I want everybody to know that. I will not stiff Steve. Vegas is my third or fourth home. So
just not getting out there as much anymore.
Not getting out there as much anymore. Nothing really there for me.
Good.
Anything I need to do in Vegas, I can do in Memphis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the sleep's helping your skin. It's helping your eyes and everything.
Yeah.
It's got you looking much fresher and lively.
So
this is real talk, not smoke.
Well, I
just looked at your eyes. You do look refreshed. You look rested.
I've made some. I don't want to get too deep in it, but I've made some very positive changes in my life.
That's very good.
I sleep 8 to 9 hours a night.
It'll help you, dude.
I no longer drink alcohol.
That's good.
Probably helps with the sleeping.
Very good, John.
Some things I'm never going to stop doing, right? I'm never going to stop, you know, betting on sports. But as I've explained, that's not necessarily a vice for me. That's more of a
you're an expert.
It's a pursuit, right?
Right.
It's a pursuit of income as opposed to the thrill or the edge. I explain this to people all the time. Some people understand, some people don't, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But I've made some other positive changes in my life, and I think we can all do that at times, you know. And so again, I just want to stipulate, and I'm like, Sammy P called me out. I did not expect that, but I will be getting back with Steve. We will be making an appearance on his show. I mean,
Sammy said Steve is listening right now.
Steve,
checking. They want these debts paid.
Steve,
you understand?
You know where I'm at.
We're gonna break some legs.
I've been on Steve's show before when they hired Josh. I think I went on there a time before that as well. So
I think he likes your talent.
So, well, you know, I appreciate that. If that is the case, I appreciate him liking the talent, and I'm happy to share some of it with him at any point today. We'll figure that out, and I will not do that.
It's really just about reciprocating
exactly.
What he did for us.
No, you got to pay the home and home back, right?
Exactly.
I don't want to be Arkansas,
right?
Where we don't pay the games, we don't pay the stuff back.
Right.
So
right.
You know, we're gonna definitely get that taken care of. Don't everybody worry about that. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Anthony Sang going to join us at 11:25. Stick around, J&J, 90.10 FM, ESPN.
Welcome back to Court TV, because that's what college sports has become. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, so stupid. You have to have a freaking law degree now to cover college sports. So, the news, I guess I'll back up. 5-5. Everybody familiar with that concept at least?
Mm-hmm.
If you are in the class of 2022, there was a Colorado federal ruling, I believe from Judge Sweeney, that had an injunction, filed an injunction, allowing you, if you were in the class of 2022 federally, to be eligible for a fifth year. Not enjoining transfer rules and all that, but it did grant you eligibility if you met the eligibility threshold. Is everybody clear about that part?
Yeah.
Can I get a round of applause?
We got it.
Separate of the federal ruling, there have been state lawsuits. There have been state lawsuits in Ohio. There have been state lawsuits in Tennessee. I believe there have been state lawsuits in South Carolina. Some attorneys have recommended joining those lawsuits if you're a 5-5 guy to give yourself protection on the state level in case something happened federally, right? And today that happened. Today there was a stay. The 10th Circuit has granted the NCAA stay request in the nationwide federal Colorado case, which means that if you are a class of 2022 athlete seeking another year of eligibility, you no longer enjoy that sweeping federal protection. Am I clear about that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me get a round of applause. Now, some took the advice of those attorneys and got both protections, right? They joined the state lawsuits. Most did, in fact. But there were some who are not going to be, as of right now, eligible without Colorado. I'll go through a couple of the names. Seth Trimble at Louisville. We talked about him last week when he committed from North Carolina. He is only in the Colorado, or was only enjoying, he was not in a state lawsuit. Donovan Atwell at Texas Tech. Denzel Aberdeen at Florida. Malik Ewan at Oregon. And the rest of these guys you probably would not necessarily know. But there's players from Auburn, from Michigan, from Syracuse, from Gonzaga, from Xavier, et cetera. Everybody else is a 5-5 player, of which there are, you know, nearly 100, it seems like. Everybody else is protected or eligible under a TRO or an injunction at the state level. So this is stupid and ridiculous that we are having to parse through. Are you federally protected? Are you protected at the state level? Who's in what? But, you know, I guess if you are, for example, Seth Trimble, you could just now join a lawsuit, right? You could just join because you don't have the federal protection. So, but yes, right now, currently as it stands, Seth Trimble is ineligible for Louisville because he's not part of that state lawsuit. He's just a part of the federal ruling. So, I mean, it's nuts that you have to know this stuff in college sports. Obviously, this does not impact Memphis because Penny said, I'm going to war with who I got. All right.
That's right. Mine's on the floor.
Yeah.
On practice floor right now.
But yeah, like, you know, you have guys in Tennessee, like Doug McDaniel is a part of the Tennessee lawsuit. But nobody wants Doug McDaniel. As I said earlier this week, he was reaching out to some Mountain West schools, and they said no thanks. Did see Josh Pastor added AJ Storr. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, AJ Storr is a UNLV running rebel committed this week, which is his ninth school.
I was going to say, still got eligibility?
Yeah, with a 5-5.
Lord.
He's a 5-5 guy. This will be his ninth school in 9 years, going back to high school. He has been on it. He has gone to a different school every year of his life the last 9 years.
And so, where's my guard from that did that, or seemingly did that, that used to play here at Memphis? We has seemingly had 8 or 9 years. You know what I'm talking about.
Who was that?
The 6'5 guard that at one point was one of the top shooting guards in the country, came and played for Penny a long time ago. He's been like...
Oh, Antoine Jones.
Antoine Jones.
I think he's finally done.
Are we ready and locked in for season 10?
I think we're finally done.
Because we would continue to see press that he had transferred and committed to somewhere else.
This would be more like 8-8.
Okay.
For Antoine. Yeah. Antoine Jones spent last season at UNC Greensboro.
It was last, okay.
And he played in 7 games and averaged 3.4 points a game.
Unbelievable that he's still playing.
Yeah.
It was like Penny's first class.
It was. He did not play after December 16th. He only played in, I guess he left the team, or I don't know what the hell happened.
And then where's Mikey?
Who?
Mikey Williams. Are we back playing for, like, Sac State or whatever it was?
Mikey Williams is...
For Bibby or something? Wasn't that where we were a couple of years ago?
Says he's still on the roster at Sacramento State.
Okay.
I don't know if that's true, but...
I think we put up some numbers last year. I'm going to try to do it again for... I think that's Bibby.
Well, he actually... It says he's in the transfer portal.
Oh, no.
So, he didn't go anywhere?
Yeah, but still be available then.
No, okay. So, he did return. He was in the portal, and then he came back. So he went back to Sacramento State. So he still
is. It's the most stability he's had in his whole career.
It is.
Terms of staying somewhere.
I mean, it's working for him, right?
I guess.
I mean, I feel like he actually had a decent year last year putting up numbers. I don't know if he was, you know, how efficient.
Yeah, I feel like he averaged in the teens.
17.1.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, this guy, Penny Hardaway, written all over. 36% from the field, 27% from three.
Bibby unlocked him.
Young man, you are a Memphis Tiger. Get your ass here, stat. I've never seen
that boat came and went.
I have never seen a player who was more perfect for Penny Hardaway than Mikey Williams. Undersized and cannot shoot.
Listen, you started this on the 5-5, and there's certainly, you know, there's a lot of college basketball guys that we have to talk about and consider, but I don't know if you saw it over at The Athletic. They've done a group of six college football prediction, and the prediction out of the American, it's not so good that Memphis team that you're so scared.
What happened?
For in terms of week zero. The American winner, they predicted, will be Navy. Second, UTSA. Third, Tulane. Fourth, South Florida. Fifth, Memphis. Damn it, Vanini.
Yeah, man.
And he really boils it down to, for Memphis, the fact that the schedule's so tough. And tough in the sense that all your games are on the road. The toughest ones are on the road. We've talked about that, whether it's Boise and UNLV or there in the American with all the top teams, Tulane, South Florida, Navy, they're all on the road. And so that's going to be the issue for Memphis. And the ding they seem to be taking, whether it's here at this athletic breakdown, they've got Boise State winning the Pac-12, and as the group of six representative in the college football playoff, the ding seems to be Memphis is not going to get it done at a championship level this year because of the schedule.
Yeah.
And it is. It's tough.
I mean, I would just say the gap, though, between 1-5 is really not that much. That's all I would say. It's like I get it that Memphis is fifth, and it's a little concerning and all that, but like I don't think there's no way you can look at the American and say this is for sure without a shadow of a doubt number one. Like even Navy.
No, you're right 100%. I said that from the get go. It's wide open, maybe as many as 6-7 teams.
You have too many first year coaches, too many quarterbacks. Like I just feel like somebody has to be the pick, but I mean this is all gonna look silly in a month.
They point out in the story something that Pernetti pointed out, I guess back at media days. Or he said it in July, 78% of the league's first and second team all-conference players transferred to Power Four schools. So it's a, you know, all your top players shaved off, moved up to Power Four schools. The coaches in this conference, we know, kind of did that too. You had four leave, three off to the SEC. So the point is, being an all-new conference, it's as wide open as ever. That said, you still have the biggest investors are South Florida and Memphis, and they're higher, at least on Heartline here at the start. Again, got them fourth than they are on Memphis. I don't understand how you got Will Hall third with Tulane.
Yeah.
I really don't, based on what he has shown you as a head coach so far. I get it with UTSA because they've got the most back on offense. You know, they've got them second and losing to Navy in the championship game. But they've never been able to stop a nosebleed. They can't stop anything on defense. And then back to your point, you're replacing Horvath at Navy, so there's no promise there. I know Memphis is fifth on this. I'm not discouraged by it whatsoever,
yeah.
Much to your point.
Yeah.
I think, again, they're probably all right there in the bucket with a chance.
Exactly.
Memphis, perhaps, with the investment level, the talent on the roster, to move up and above these guys. Maybe South Florida can do that, too.
They
separate
could.
Yourself.
They could. But, yeah. By the way, Kenyon Giles does not have a state lawsuit. We talked about him yesterday, the Wichita State guard.
Mm-hmm.
He's joining a South Carolina lawsuit. That hearing is the 31st, but he's currently ineligible. He is, again, part of that state hearing or lawsuit, I should say. But right now, for the next 10 days, at the very least, he is technically ineligible. Because he doesn't have that state protection. So, but yeah, I mean, I think all this stuff with this is one where it's like, I don't even know who would you pick if you did the preseason poll for the American, who would you pick? Like, it would be kind of silly. Like, I have absolutely no clue. I mean, I could go Army, I could go Navy based on last year, but losing quarterbacks.
I pick most investment. I go South Florida.
Exactly.
Memphis,
you could do that. Yeah, you could absolutely do that. And it would be.
Especially with Horvath gone, but
sensible.
Many people like their backup.
Yeah.
But who Horvath's knows? Backup, we'll see.
I think it's a little silly to just assume that the backup's going to come in and be able to do what he did. I mean, he was a damn good college football player.
Mm-hmm.
That dude was a monster. He could throw it, he could run it. I mean, they also had Heidenreich, who like was their kind of do everything guy offensively. I think he's gone. I think he's in the NFL now. So,
well, they don't even mention Marcus Stokes as top newcomer in terms of the conference. They've got Aaron Nolan on here instead. That's interesting.
Yeah, well, the hell.
I don't know how closely he's paying attention on that part. Then he's got Jamon Tapp on there, obviously.
Yeah,
and Michael Van Buren down at South Florida. We've talked about him, but he's got Aaron Nolan as the top newcomer.
Yep.
For Memphis in terms of on the offensive side. He's got Owen McCown as the offensive player of the year, the UTSA quarterback that's back.
Yep, that makes sense. I mean, you could go there with the continuity if you wanted to.
Continuity on offense.
Yeah, but
we'll see what happens on defense.
Yeah, anybody's guess for sure. But as the courtroom turns for college basketball, does not impact Memphis, but could indirectly. Again, I'm expecting Kenyon Giles to be a part of that South Carolina lawsuit. And that I expect that to get the temporary restraining order, the injunction, whatever. And that's just how it's going to go now. I mean, what a mess, though, as Kevin Sweeney points out. It's kind of the worst case scenario for the NCAA because, you have a world where lots of players are eligible through state level injunctions, but there's no national consensus. There's no national eligibility for different players, and it's dictated by different states on different schedules. I mean, it's just a disaster. What this has turned into for the NCAA. And I guess there's no way that you could have prevented it. You know, they're going to try to probably appeal on the state level. But success seems to vary for them on that. So isn't that how Diego Pavia played on the state stuff? I mean, who even knows who played on what, how they did it? I mean, nobody even freaking knows, man.
Yeah, there's too many of these to try to keep a history of or – I'll try to track on some regular basis.
Yeah, I mean, Trinidad Chambliss, I believe, is on a state level TRO. So it's just crazy. Crazy times in college sports. You got to have a law degree to talk about it and think about it and work in it. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Anthony Sain is going to join us at 11:25. We'll talk Grizz NBA with him. Peyton Watson, obviously, traded to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Get us onto all that and more. J&J, 92.5 FM.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
ESPN. All right, we have another ownership change in the NBA. American businessman Mark Stad has completed a deal to become the controlling owner and largest shareholder of the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Minnesota Lynx by buying the majority of co-owner Mark Lohr's stake at a $4.5 billion valuation. So we had a lot of ownership changing hands in the NBA. We got the Blazers just sold to Tom Dundon last October. That just got finalized. The Lakers franchise has changed hands twice since last year, and now the Timberwolves are now being sold to Mark Stad, who I don't know much about him. He's the founder and managing partner of Dragoneer Investment Group. He had been a minority investor in the Timberwolves and Lynx. Sounds like it's one of those things where he's pretty much down with Minnesota, and they know what they're getting into with him. You know, it's not like a moving kind of thing. His wife will serve as the Timberwolves governor, actually, Elisa Stad, Mark will continue his work with Dragoneer. So that's an interesting thing. And then A-Rod, of course, will be the alternate governor, and he will be the governor of the Lynx. So he's going to run the Lynx now. Alex Rodriguez is. So just an interesting deal. I mean, Alex Rodriguez has become so prominent up there, and he's obviously still going to have a role. But, yeah, it was Lauren Rodriguez who bought the Timberwolves in 2021 at a $1.5 billion valuation. So in 4 years, it's gone from five years, it's gone from $1.5 billion to $4.5 billion. It's pretty good. I wonder what the Grizzlies are valued. I mean, it can't be much worse than $4.5 billion, right? I mean, the Timberwolves have Anthony Edwards. I get that. But if they're at $4.5 billion, you guys think the Grizzlies are like $3.5 billion, $4 billion.
I don't think it's – I wouldn't guess it's that high. Them and the Pelicans are there at the bottom. Didn't you just a couple of years ago cross over the billion threshold? I mean, I'm sure maybe you could do two. I'm not sure where you're on the latest valuations, but you and New Orleans are going to be the two lowest.
Yeah.
Like you've always been or have been for the last few years, and I don't think it's going to be near four.
So the –
Maybe two?
Sportico and CNBC differ on this. Valuation for the Grizz, according to CNBC, is $3.75 billion. And then Sportico says $4 billion. So that would put them 30th, but it's still...
Well, I mean, they've come up significantly then since crossing over the billion mark, if that's where they say they are. Those are year-by-year valuations that they put up?
February 2026, CNBC put the valuation at $3.75. So, and then Forbes had him at $3.5 billion. So it just varies.
But, you got the whole list. You got New Orleans.
Let's see. I can find New Orleans here. I mean, I guarantee you they'd probably be right behind. Right.
It's been 29 and 30.
Yeah, they're 29. They're 3.85. So that would. I mean, the literal.
That's closer to Minnesota than to your original point. It is closer to Minnesota than I thought it was going to be at this point.
Yeah. I mean, significant overall growth for the NBA. Like Gail Benson. Gail Benson, according to Gemini, bought the tip. Can this be true? She bought the Pelicans in 2012 for $338 million. And she now is sitting on an NBA team worth $3.85 billion. That sucks, by the way.
Yeah.
Hasn't done anything.
I mean, it's not much different for Para in terms of what he...
Yeah, you're right.
The original purchase price. Yeah. It wasn't a billion.
It had to probably be around there, right?
No, I thought it was in the... was it over...
He bought the Grizzlies. I don't see right now. I don't see a 377. So he bought the valuation of the deal was $377 million. He bought him at age 34.
There you go. So, and what did you say Benson's was? That sounds like it's the same thing.
Yeah. So they've somehow passed us. I don't know how that would have happened, but I guess maybe market size is. Flipped since then, maybe.
I'm just saying, in terms of his growth, what he's made.
Oh yeah, yeah,
it's
no,
right,
right
there next to hers.
I mean, honestly, if you bought an NBA team in 2012, you're sitting on a freaking gold mine.
Mm-hmm. His thing is, it's not his. I mean, it's not even the his money maker.
Yeah,
ubiquity is.
Yep. Yeah, but
this
I mean,
is his toy.
That's amazing. That is truly amazing. Maybe
and the valuation's gone up.
Maybe because of I would assume that that's a real big reason why he doesn't feel he's not antsy to move.
Correct.
Because he's turned $370 million into 3.85
$7.5 billion.
And it's not his main moneymaker.
Right, yeah. Point. And he's already made more money than God, so mm-hmm. it's like it doesn't even matter, which is a good thing. Yeah. You know?
If his business was failing, and yes. all of a sudden he's got to get liquid on this,
yes.
on this and get the highest value he can out of yep. the Grizzlies, it'd be
yep.
different.
Yeah.
But that, thus, you have, I'm sure, him close to signing, or the Grizzlies close to signing this long-term lease.
Yep.
To stay here.
Yep.
But to your point, you have gone up markedly, but with the NBA.
With the NBA, correct. It's not about you. It's not just with the NBA and the media rights.
Frankly, the new media rights deal is what's jumped it up this much.
Absolutely.
On these latest numbers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I hadn't gone back and looked at those valuations in a while.
Yeah, because in 2018, I believe the Grizzlies valuation was still in the billions, like $1 billion something.
Yeah, so I couldn't remember the year where I remember us talking about the story of them crossing over
yeah.
the billion mark, but obviously it was further back than I thought it was.
In 2018, you know, he had that clause, right, that buy-sell clause with minority stakeholders. And in 2018, 8 years ago, it was in the $1 billion range. It was over $1 billion, but it was in the $1 billion range. So mm-hmm. I mean, even this then, it's gone up 200%.
It's nuts,
crazy in 8 years. I mean, I don't know if there's a better investment in the world than an NBA team if you bought it in 2012. I mean, if you bought a house in 2020, you got them 3% interest rates. Mm-hmm. Not as good as buying an NBA team, though. I mean, I'll say that. So, yeah, the Timberwolves are changing hands. It doesn't seem like a lot is going to change there, though, unlike the Blazers, for example. Like, there's some real anxiety and uncertainty there. It seems like this is kind of staying in the family. But it is another ownership change. So, and then in Memphis, just adding to the ownership sort of news, we're waiting on the lease. So it's going to be a very busy fall, it feels like, potentially, because you got the Lakers sale you got to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that goes through. The Blazers are trying to, are they extending a lease? Are they getting a new stadium? Got that. You got Timberwolves. I feel like I'm leaving one out, but you got the Grizz. So you have a lot of news going on in the NBA right now with you know, ownership. And
yeah.
And I guess that's what happens when the valuations go crazy like this. Everybody wants a piece. Everybody wants to get in on the NBA now. So it's nice. Kind of nice to have an owner that just like sets it and forgets it.
You got a bunch of folks fighting for that Las Vegas ownership group.
Yeah, that,
you
know, too.
You got a bunch of groups.
Yeah,
now,
that,
one of them gone
coming?
With Geiger.
Yeah,
somebody said that was the leading. They thought the leading group.
Yep.
Geiger, that group that ends up buying.
Yep.
The Lakers. So, I'm curious who's gonna what that group's gonna look like, because you've got a bunch of them apparently fighting for it.
Yep. So anyway, new owners. Governors.
Of Steve Cofield, that we talked about that with, I
yes.
think, earlier this week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Look, man, if you want to do the show with Steve, just say it.
I'm just a fan, and I want to pay him back for what he did for
us. Well, I'm
us.
Paying him back at
I'm
1 o'clock
paying him back
today.
With you.
I'm paying
you
him back today at 1 o'clock. It's just, it's
you do good. Those hits when
and
somebody does
on,
a hit with you.
And I'm doing it on video, right? So I'm doing it on, I'm one-upping, you know?
Good.
That's so it's
give him the goods. Give him the alpha on the Tigers. That's what he wants.
100%. And like, which I'll say, you know, all I can do is give him the various quotations from Charles Hupp. I'll give him spot the ball, suffer well, Sun Tzu, Martin Luther King. That's what he'll get from me. You know what I mean? So, but if he wants, and I would just say, if you want the tactical stuff, you know, the formations, the charting, the stuff, you gotta get Gabe on, man. You know what I mean? Go football guy. I'm the personality guy. I'm gonna come with the funny.
They're Vegas. They just want numbers, and you'll be able to provide that.
Yeah.
That you can do the Vegas thing all day.
And I can do that for sure.
Lord knows you can do that.
But I'd recommend him, the guy that played offensive line for Memphis. But anyway, yes, I'm gonna definitely be on with him at some point today. We'll come back with the rundown. Then Anthony Sain at 11:25. Stick around, J&J 92.9 FM, ESPN.
On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Deanna Roga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.